Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a cold, sunny day here in New York City, but who cares? I'm sitting in my house and having a good time over here. And I had a great show. Olive oil. We're going to be talking all about olive oil. Well, I'm enthused about this because I've already been to two places where olive oil is a tasting. You can go inside of a store and you can taste olive oils, not from bottles, and we'll explain the whole thing. And then the olive oils get bottled up as you want them. And it's probably the freshest olive oils that you can get anywhere. So what we're doing is, first I'm going to be speaking with a company called Veronica Foods. What they do is provide the olive oils to these tasting stores. That's the best way of putting it. Before I do that, and oh yes, that's right. Wait, I'm sorry. Hello. Go ahead. Okay, that was Eskimo Unit. Okay, they're here with me, as you know. Okay, and so anyway, we're going to have Mike Bradley from Veronica Foods to share this whole thing about olive oil. Mike, do I got you on the phone here? Okay. Not sure. Well, okay. Let's hit a commercial. What I actually might do, I could always, the great thing about it is I can call that person, you know what I mean? So let's go to a commercial first. Where's my favorite? My brownies, here they are.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Holidays are coming up. I mean, Mother's Day. If you're a mother, get it for your mother. Or if you're going to be a mother, or if you even considered being a mother, get them for yourself. Well, I'm going to make a phone call right now. Here we go. And let's see what the story is.
Thank you for calling Veronica Foods and Delizia Olive Oil. If you have a party's extension, please dial it now. For directions and business hours, press 1. For a company directory, press 2.
or I keep trying to break zero.
At any time, press star or dial zero for an operator.
Okay, I'm dialing zero.
Exiting the system. Goodbye.
But what happened? Okay. Forget that one then. Well, I don't know what's happened there. Okay. Let's see. Lisa, are you there by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Well, I don't know what happened. Mike was supposed to call in.
Merle, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go. Actually, Merle, I just called Veronica Foods. When you call them, dial zero, and you will get the operator. But I did call, and Jackie, the receptionist, said that Mike was just about getting ready to call. So if you want to do a call, if you want to go ahead and call
first. Let's see if I have him. Wait a second. Mike, do I have you now?
Yes, you should do, Merle.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be eavesdropping, but Veronica just dialed me in, and I'm sitting in on your conversation, uninvited, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
Hi,
okay.
Okay, great. So, Merle, I don't. Are we on the air right now or no?
Yes, you're on the air. So don't say any. I was going to say don't say any dirty words, but it really doesn't matter because it's internet. But that's okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll be on my best behavior.
Oh, okay.
It's nice to meet you, Merle. Veronica has told me a little bit about you and your interest in food and I guess in particular what we've been doing. So I'm going to sit back and let you ask the questions.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, let me begin with so people can understand. Well, of course, I want you to introduce yourself and tell us, like, what you do, what Veronica Foods is about.
Okay, my name is Michael Bradley, and I'm the president of Veronica Foods Company, and we're a family business. We're just about 100 years old, not quite, but pushing it.
Is anybody 100 years old that's working?
Well, there's no one in the company 100 years old, but sometimes I feel like I'm pushing that too. But we're a family business, and my wife's family were immigrants from Italy, and they started the company in Brooklyn in about 1913, and they were in the cheese and the olive oil business, but primarily in the cheese business. And over the years, during the war years, especially since there was no olive oil coming in from the Mediterranean, Spain and Italy were on the other side. They migrated, the family business, they migrated to California, where they worked with some Italian producers in the tomato business and the fruit business and established themselves here on the West Coast as purveyors of Italian-style foods. And they remained in the olive oil business really up until this day, but the olive oil and the cheese business became really footnotes to the main business that they were in, and for the better part of 50 years, they were traders in the tomato and the fruit business in California. And my wife and I bought the company it's going on close to 25 years, maybe 30 years ago. And when we bought the company, I was the sales manager of the company, and the part of the business that was concerned with olive oil was about 0.5% of the business, and the other 99.5% was other. And about maybe 8 to 10 years after we bought the company, we began to look at the olive oil business. I'm going back now; that would be probably 15 to 20 years ago, and we started to look at olive oil as a potential mainstay instead of being a footnote or a side note. Things were changing, and the canned fruit and tomato business was declining. And there was, if we go back to the early tech days, there was a pretty good-sized movement away from processed foods into more natural foods. And we saw ourselves in an industry that was really declining, and we were looking for ways to continue the business. And we started looking at olive oil, and we started really looking at it in ways that we hadn't looked at it before. And that led us on a journey that I'll skip some of this because we spent literally years drilling down and trying to find out. But we started looking at varieties and looking at countries, and we recognized that the market was skewed in the direction of terroir. And what I mean by that is that most folks in the United States and in the world really associated olive oil with Italy primarily. And we had discovered that, in fact, Italy was a larger importer than they were a producer, and that they were buying oil from the Spaniards and the Greeks and the Tunisians and all over the Mediterranean. And a lot of it was traveling. In fact, most of it was traveling across international lines as Italian. And so we, you know, that fact informed the direction that we went. We started to try to find out what the differences were and what kind of attributes certain varieties would have. And that led us in a direction where we started to look at olive oil in an American way, which what that means to me is that the kind of Kansas mentality, show me what it does, show me how it works, show me what the real attributes are. And that led us in a direction to look at these cultivars or varieties in unique ways. And since we had a very strong connection in the industrial and the institutional food business, our former suppliers became our first customers. And we started to formulate varieties and profiles that worked better than the ones they were using. And in some cases, the actual product was less per pound or per gallon. And in some cases, it was more, but the value proposition started to take shape. And that, what I mean by that is we went to the tomato packers in the United States, primarily here in California, and did demonstrations to show them that certain varieties actually they could use less and actually have a more flavorful product. So even though the cost may have gone up per pound, the actual cost went down. And that sent us down a road that led to all kinds of formulations. What kind of oil would you use in pesto? What kind of oil would you use in tomato products? What kind of oil would you use on a salad? And so on and so forth. And we began to build a library of single cultivar premium oils that had no retail market, but had a very strong institutional and industrial market. And then about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, we started to take that format and offer it into the retail market. And what happened was a few stores opened and started offering these single cultivar ultra-premium oils, and it took off. And in less than 7 years, it went from one store to about 300. And these stores are independently owned. They're all over the country. And what we do is we supply them with the largest selection of single variety premium oils in the world. And it's amazing to us. We were surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the force that this thing took off. And I think there are a bunch of several drivers that are responsible for this. It wasn't just that we had oils that are not generally available, but that the public was ready, and the increased interest in cooking, the increased interest in health, the increased interest in fats in general, all contributed to the way that this thing took off. And today we're basically enjoying this kind of confirmation of what we had discovered 10 years ago.
So are you saying that there are like several hundred stores that have tasting rooms, so to speak, at that kind of setup?
Yes. It's a different format. What we discovered along the way was that most folks had never tasted fresh olive oil and really didn't understand it. we tried going through the traditional channels in retail, and that market was just not receptive or ready. And again, they were still in love with this idea that putting it was from Italy on the label, regardless of where it was really from or regardless of the quality. Terroir or where seemed to be the most important consideration. And in fact, we developed some kind of responses because we ran into that wall everywhere. And we like to say today, and we say it all the time, if you don't know when and you don't know what and you don't know how, knowing where is not going to help you. In fact, it's liable to mislead you, and in many cases does. So in order to kind of make that a reality, we had to demonstrate to consumers, we had to go to the consumer and get them to taste the different varieties the same way that we had. And once they tasted fresh oil, they never went back. And they became, and we've got a list of, a very narrow list, but a very deep list of loyal followers who understand and have learned now, because they go into these stores, they taste before they buy. The oils are stored in bulk, which is the best way to store and keep olive oil. And there's a very, very high degree of importance placed on freshness, the harvest date, the chemistry, all of the things that we know we have to know in order to determine if an oil is really good that you can't find on a bottle anywhere. And,
well, that's the question I was going to ask. When you buy, it's like when you're getting a bottle of wine, you have like a year on it at least, or something to that sort.
Correct. Correct. And there's a there's a current war, and I don't think that's too strong a word to use. There's a current war going on about standards in the world. The trade organization that basically controls or is the last word on probably 95% of the oil produced in the world is European. It's known as the IOC, the International Olive Oil Council. And we discovered early on that the standards left a lot to be desired. And it's no surprise that when you have industry participants writing the standards, that generally those standards get written in favor of the industry. Right. And so things like harvest date, shelf life, were really, they're out there in the cloud, so to speak. They're left up, and there's really no way that a consumer can go into a store and buy a bottle of olive oil and know when it was made or how fresh it is. And while that was a big hindrance in the beginning, it's turned out to be a great boon for us, because by demonstrating and showing not just the dates but what they mean, you know, we started to look at the chemistry. We started to look at what the polyphenols mean. And we've all heard of antioxidants and polyphenols, and they're an important part of what makes olive oil good, and yet they're not even part of the standard. And the IOC is strenuously resisted putting polyphenols on a bottle. But we know for a fact that the polyphenols are beneficial and, in fact, contribute to the shelf life. The higher the polyphenol, the higher the antioxidant level in that oil, the longer it's going to last. And that's just one aspect of this. I mean, there are things like oleic acid. There are so many compounds in olive oil that decrease over time, and if you're not buying it fresh, you're in most cases not getting the benefit that you think you're getting. So freshness became for us a huge, really, really important consideration. And we began working in both hemispheres, so we have two crops. We work in Chile, we work in Australia, we work in New Zealand, we work in Argentina, South Africa, and Uruguay this year. And what the reason why we do is we can have fresh olive oil in June and July, while the Mediterranean oil or those things done in the southern hemisphere are at that time are 6 or 7 months old. And then the reverse happens. In November and December, our emphasis switches from the southern hemisphere to the northern, and then we begin focusing on California, on Italy, on Spain, and Tunisia, and the Mediterranean countries, so that you've got really two bites of the apple instead of having to have fruit juice. And that's how we look at olive oil. Instead of having fruit juice that's 1 year or 2 years old, we can have fresh fruit juice pretty much 365 days of the year. That's been a big part of the success. That learning curve when the consumer begins to understand the difference between fresh and stale or oxidized oil.
Well, let me ask this. In other words, you're saying that even though people are making like an assumption it's from Italy or Greece or Spain, it could be also be from Australia as well.
Well, let me just put it this way.
Yeah.
The preponderance goes the other way. We like to say that the big lie is not that it's from Italy, that it's printed on the bottle it's from Italy, and it's not. The big lie is that it's automatically better if it is. And so what people generally lie about is where they think they're going to get some advantage. And the countries like Australia, the new producers like California, Australia, New Zealand, Argentina, Chile, they are fighting against the we'll call it the headwind of perception that that still survives today in the world and in the United States, although it's changing, and that is that if it's better if it's from one place or another rather than looking.
Right.
Really looking at the oil, analyzing it, and again, the varieties are the same. I've sat with some of the best tasters in Italy and had them taste Frantoio and Coratina from other places that they thought was from Italy, and done the reverse on the other side. So again, it's educating the consumer has been a big part of this, and the journey that we went on and the discoveries that we made, we started to make available to the general public. And the same way that we were awed and really blown away, the same thing is happening. And I believe that this bell is not going to get unrung, that what we're really seeing is the reinvention of the category.
Well, let me ask you a question. First, the whole thing about extra virgin olive oil, is that the most important thing?
No.
Did you get that?
Well, it's a simple question, and unfortunately, it's a complicated answer. And the reason is that the standards, you can have olive oil that meets the standard for extra virgin that's defective, and it's because the standards are too low. They're intentionally set low. For example, one key measurement of freshness is what's known as FFA, or free fatty acid. The IOC standard for extra virgin says that there cannot be above 0.8 is the measurement of FFA. And that, again, that's a measurement, that's a quotient. The higher the number, the worse the oil. Well, I've never tasted an extra virgin olive oil with an FFA value of 0.7 that wasn't defective. And when I say defective, what I mean is from a sensory point of view, you can actually taste the defect. And it's a very, if you taste fresh oil next to old oil, you can, none of this talking comes close to the experience. And that's part of the problem. Americans have been taught to treat olive oil like a valuable Crisco. And the idea that they would taste it like a fruit juice is just foreign. From a cultural point of view, it's not something that we do. And I've seen people wince when I start sipping olive oil, but in order to understand this, you have to actually see how it's made. You take whole fruit, you crush it. The water sinks, the oil floats. So what you're really doing, there's no process involved outside of this mechanical pressing that allows the oil to float to the top because it's lighter, and that's siphoned off. And when you taste it fresh, you absolutely know it's fresh. And when you taste it after a year, and in some cases, 2 and 3. I've been in plenty of gourmet stores that have 2 and 3 year shelf life on their bottle with no harvest date, but a pack date. And remember, the pack date is not necessarily the harvest date. And I would say, in most cases, it's absolutely not the harvest date. So consumers go into a store, they see a pack date, and they mistakenly believe that's the born-on date, which is, as I said, not necessarily the case. And oftentimes, retailers won't stock an item unless it has a long shelf life. So they'll insist that the packer put a 2-year shelf life on it. Well, since there's no law or rule to govern that, they do it. And oftentimes, oils that don't turn quickly, and those are generally oils that are pricey, some of the worst offenders turn out to be oils that started out as really premium but just don't turn. And they'll have this 2-year shelf life. And there's no olive oil in the world There may be olive oils that will pass that absurdly low test and still qualify as extra virgin, but there's anybody who's making olive oil knows who's honest, and people who make olive oil know this, that the olive oil goes down after the first day it's made, and the best day of its life is really its first day. The challenge is to preserve it and to create circumstances where it goes downhill at a slower rate. So when you see olive oil in clear bottles, UV light is one of those things that destroys olive oil.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, the whole idea of putting olive oil in dark glass or UV-protected glass is an attempt on the part of the bottler to preserve that oil. Once you open it, we recommend that if you open a bottle of olive oil that you consume it in less than 30 days. I've seen people with jugs in plastic, clear plastic in their cupboard of gallon jugs that last 6 months. There's no way that olive oil is fit for consumption after 6 months open. And so what we have is what we believe is a malformed industry, an industry that's because of the lack of education and lack of understanding and, frankly, greed on the part of a lot of producers. They've created standards that have a perverse incentive to produce lower grades and to sell lower grades. And this doesn't even get in, what I'm talking about doesn't even get into the issue of how you make great olive oil and the perverse incentive that's built into the grading system that encourages people to make second-rate olive oil. And that has to do with yield. If you let the fruit get overripe on the tree, number one, it comes off faster. In fact, you can pick it up off the ground at a certain point, and you can crush that, and you get a higher yield. That, what I mean by that is the amount of oil based on the weight of the olive increases over time as water evaporates and as the fruit begins to shrivel. And so when you crush olives that are older, you will get a higher percentage of oil out of them. On the other hand, if you pick that fruit when it's really fresh and when it's green and when it's just at its peak in terms of freshness and quality and polyphenol count, your yield's going to be much lower. Now, if the grading system is a pass or fail, which it is by the IOC standards, if you come in with a 0.7 FFA, you still pass. If you come in with a 0.01, which is a very low, I mean, it's extremely low, that would be what we'd call an A-plus or an ultra-premium oil, your yield is going to be much lower. But you get the same grade if you pass by the skin of your teeth or if you won the gold medal at the Italian World's Fair. And so this pass-or-fail system, because there's economic incentive, because you sell your oil by the pound, there's an economic incentive for the farmer to ship or to pick the fruit late because the consumer doesn't know the difference between an oil with a 0.7 and an oil with a 0.1. They don't understand that lower is better. And again, I don't want to over... I'm using the FFA as one point, but there, you know, on a certificate of analysis known as a C of A, there are literally 30 or 40, as many as 50 different chemical categories that you can look at that will really give you accurate, objective information on the state, the condition, the durability, the health value of that oil. But none of that information appears on a bottle.
Well, let me ask you a question. I did a whole thing regarding coffee, and it's like Fairway Market does their own coffee. And now they get the beans, they roast it, et cetera. And I had spoken to the guy there, and I said, well, do you actually ever go over to the countries? And he says, yes. And I guess they kind of make deals then saying, this is what I want, kind of thing. Is that the same kind of thing? Do you, like, make a deal with, like, wherever you're going to get the olive oil? And you're getting the olive oil, right? You're not getting olives, you're not crushing them. Correct.
That's a great question, and the answer is true, and I love the analogy with coffee for a bunch of reasons. But, yes, what we do is we never buy olive oil from a trader. We only buy from farmers, and oftentimes we buy the fruit on the tree with the understanding that we're going to get it crushed nearby because timing is in olives and olive oil is of the essence. The faster, the shorter, less amount of time from tree to crushing, the better. And it's so if you're working with a farmer and he has a mill or there's a mill within a few miles of his farm, you can often get your olives crushed in under 7-8 hours, which is ideal. But to give you an idea of how lax the standards are, I've seen olives that are 3 and 4 days old get crushed and they still meet the standard. But the coffee analogy, again, I go back to it, is really important. And there's another reason why it's important and germane to olive oil. Everybody understands, because they drink coffee, when they taste fresh coffee beans or coffee beans that have just been crushed and roasted, you can smell it and you can taste it, and it's just absolutely something that cannot be denied, and everybody gets it. The same thing is true of olive oil, and when you, the problem is that people, number one, are not used to tasting it and smelling it, and this is crucial. Once people begin smelling and tasting olive oil and they have that comparison of that fresh, let's say that fresh roasted bean and a freshly pressed olive oil, there's just, again, words don't do justice to that difference, and it's a justice. It's a difference that's so dramatic that it's just obvious. And so your point and the analogy is a good one. I prefer to compare olive oil to coffee beans because of the freshness issue. There are some wines that actually get better with age. There's no olive oil that gets better with age.
Right,
just like
right.
There's no coffee that gets better when it gets older. And that's how olive oil should be looked at.
Well, the thing is that in terms of coffee, though, you, or as we say in New York, coffee. The thing with coffee is, you usually don't taste a shot of olive oil. In other words, you're always either cooking with it or putting it in salad. You're not, you know what I mean? As opposed to having,
yes,
oh,
I do. However,
I'd like
to point out that there are a lot of doctors recommending that you do take a shot
yes.
of olive oil in
oh,
the morning.
Dr.
In
Oz
fact,
told
I would
that.
Tell you that yes. Veronica, my wife Veronica, routinely every morning, she looks. We have in our house the highest polyphenol olive oil that we can find, and that's what she does every morning. And there are a lot of people that do that. But I would just simply say that. Like any other ingredient that you're going to cook with, everybody understands how important fresh is, and the attributes of fresh are sensory. And in olive oil, these attributes are readily recognizable if you take the time to do it. And one of the things that we asked all the stores to do is to go into the local markets and buy a good selection of the top sellers and bring them into the stores, including the top shelf, not just the house brand, but the ultra premium, the premium oils that sell us for as much as $20, $30, $40 a pound or for a 500 ml, and bring those into a store and open them up and cover the label so people don't see the label and taste that oil and then match up the variety. For example, most olive oils don't tell you the variety. They'll just say from a place. And there's a huge difference between varieties. There are varieties like Arbequina that have a very limited shelf life that degrade much faster than, say, a variety like a Coratina, which is a classic Italian variety that has the chemistry and the durability, just like, a big red, that, a red wine that might last longer than, say, a pink Chablis. And so you have to look at the variety. And, of course, this is true about coffee beans, too. Kona coffee and Colombian coffee beans are not the same thing as Brazilian. And so it's not about, saying that one is necessarily better than the other. It's about understanding how they function and how they work. And I love Arbequina when it's fresh and when it's within 2 or 3 months from crushing. But at the 10th, 11th, 12th month, I don't have much use for it, and it just falls off a cliff. Whereas a variety like a Coratina is a very robust oil. It's got a very high polyphenol count. It's got a very high level of oleic acid, and it's very durable. And at its 8th month, it might be 3 or 4 times as potent, pungent, and durable as an Arbequina that's 3 months old. So, again, this is information that the average consumer there's just no way that they can get it. And, of course, the producers who are mixing 50 different varieties and sending it in here as generic are not anxious to tell that story.
I bet. So let me ask you then. So now you're getting the olive oils to your place, and who's doing, I know there is a lot of like infused olive oils.
Mm-hmm,
who's
mm-hmm.
doing the infusing, you or?
We do all of our own infusing, and we do fusing, which, and let me just kind of for a moment digress and explain the difference.
Yeah.
Infused oils are oils that are flavored after the fact. And so you could make, for example, let's say a garlic infused oil. You take extra virgin olive oil and you find a garlic concentrate and you add it to it. And there's nothing wrong with this as long as the people understand on the other side. And I would just simply say that in some cases infusion works better. I've tasted a lot of quote fused garlic olive oils, and I frankly don't care for them much. Fused is when you take the whole fruit and you crush it simultaneously with the olive. Now, citrus in particular works very well this way, and we have a mill in North Africa in Tunisia that I started with a partner, from an ex Procter and Gamble guy who is a Tunisian American citizen, and we built a mill over there primarily for two reasons: one, because it's a very large source of organic fruit in that country, and two, they have a very very rich citrus harvest, and so we make in that mill pick organic olives and crush them with organic lemons and oranges, blood oranges, and various other fruits to make what we call fused oil. So fused is when you take whole fruit and crush it simultaneously. Infused is when you add the flavor later. And in both cases, we do all of those ourselves. We don't do that outside.
And now the same thing, I understand, so we can expand this a little. You also have the vinegars too, as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Vinegars are like the candy inside the candy store, right?
So I've always been, like, where does vinegar come from? I mean, what exactly is it?
Well, the vinegar, we work with we think the best producer in the world in Modena, Italy. We work with a company called Acetum, and their business is just grown exponentially over the last decade, but they're not only great people, but they make a great product. But we formed an alliance with them, a partnership, some years ago, and they produce all of the balsamics that we fuse and infuse. And so their product is the base. They come here, and we have an in-house chef, actually my daughter Rachel. And she formulates the different infusions of the different vinegars. And we have something like the olive oil thing, but on the vinegar side. And that's been a huge hit. I'm absolutely bowled over by how popular that's become.
So then the vinegars are all based from grapes?
Oh yeah. Balsamic vinegar is a great base. In fact, it must be three or four varieties. The Trebbiano is the most well known, but it, not only does it have to come from a certain grape, it must be produced in a certain region of Italy, in Modena. Keep in mind that the laws of Italy are not the laws of the United States. So in the United States, you have what's known as the Wild Wild West in terms of vinegar. Vinegar fraud is probably more rampant than olive oil fraud. The only difference is it's not illegal in the United States because there is no standard for vinegar. There is now a standard for olive oil, and the fraud still remains, but at least it's prosecutable. Whereas in vinegar, people can say just about anything they want, and there's really no rule or law. If they were in Italy, they'd go to jail. But in the United States, you can get away with it.
By the way, how can you tell if vinegar goes bad?
Well, vinegars, interestingly enough, vinegars in one way or the opposite side. As it turns out, the most expensive vinegar is often the vinegar that has the greatest dried sugar extracts, and that happens. Can happen two ways. One way is just you can let it age, and through evaporation, the process is you basically keep adding grape juice, and as the vinegar ages, it evaporates. It becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. It basically is becoming more dense. The other way is to cook it or do a reduction, and almost all of the vinegars in the world now, the balsamic vinegars produced in Modena, are cooked. And what they do is they're basically accelerating that aging process by cooking off the water, and the vinegar gets thicker and thicker and thicker. Obviously, the cost goes up because you're concentrating it. But the vinegar, the balsamic vinegar industry is it could take 5 days just to get into it. I mean, and I have to admit that I am not an expert in that business. We do have experts in it, and I'd be happy to refer you to them. I can simply say that I believe that we're working with the best company in the world, and I'm really pleased with the different branches and the different flavors and the different infusions that we've created, and frankly been copied all over the country now. I mean, even our product line has been copied by people who are adding stuff like xanthan gum and thickeners, which none of that stuff is added on our side. What we do is we work with the balsamic vinegar and all natural flavorings, no thickeners, no sugar, no sweeteners, none of that stuff. But I've seen, in fact, I was looking at one last week that I couldn't get it to get come out of the tap. It was so thick and granular. I don't know what they had in it, but there's no way that was balsamic vinegar. And again, it's really a different subject altogether.
Well, I'm going to have Lisa join us now so we can get into this whole thing about having one of these stores. Lisa, what even made you decide to get a store like this?
Hi, Meryl. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay, great. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to hear
good.
Your voice.
Yeah, excellent. Well, as you all hear, Mike is the incredible expert. Me, I kind of want to take on the fun side of it, and this has been a really, really fun experience. What made me decide to do this? Well, basically, I'm pretty much of an entrepreneurial spirit type of a person, and what I did prior to this was I'm a dental hygienist from Florida, was working, training dental offices how to use digital x-ray for about the past 6 years, 3 years in Florida. Because of the market, things started kind of slimming out a little bit. So my company said, well, we're going to send you all over the country, and you know what? We need you in California. So I came to California, started doing the trainings for the dental offices, ended up spending about 3,000 miles a month on the road, and it got pretty tiring. I would spend probably 5 hours of my probably 14-hour day on the road. So while I was waiting for traffic to die down to make my 100-mile trip back home, I found myself in a place called San Carlos. It's a little bit south of San Francisco. So I thought, well, I'll have some dinner, walk around town. It was a cute little adorable town. So I went to walking down the street, came across a place called Olive Crush. It's also one of the Veronica food stores. And again, it's not a franchise, but independently owned. So Mike was the owner there, and I walked in and started tasting the olive oil. And to tell you the truth, I've never been impressed by any of the olive oil stores I have gone to while I've been over here in California, because we don't really have much of that on the East Coast, being that I'm from the East Coast. So I thought, well, I don't have anything else to do. I'll just kind of poke around. Took a couple tastes. I was blown away. One thing that really hit me was that no matter what I tasted, whether it was flavored oil or the balsamic or the olive oil, it just was so pure and so true to taste. If it said it was strawberry, it tasted spot on, and it didn't change in your mouth afterwards. You could really, really tell the difference. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I bought a couple bottles, went back a couple of weeks later, bought six more bottles, and then went back a couple of weeks after that because I was having trainees down in that area. And thought, wow, this is pretty neat. I need to ask about the possible opportunity. I said, is this a franchise? And he said, no, which I was thrilled. And Mike, Veronica, thank you so much for not going that route. So little did I know that I stumbled across a company that is so incredibly authentic, true to their passion, and they put out the best product ever. And the thing is that we only sell, our distributor is, our sole distributor is Veronica Foods, and we are so very proud to only have their products to sell, and it's just amazing. So, Mike, I really thank you so much for being, you know, who
I'm
you guys are.
But I'll take it, absolutely take it. And you know, this is, it really is a great opportunity. And when I say great opportunity, I'm talking about our side of it, because for so long we struggled against this. And I got to tell you that at times I thought, well, maybe I'm just in love with my own story here. But the way this took off, and the way that people like Lisa had this kind of aha moment or this epiphany, it happened to me. And it happened to me traveling around Spain, Greece, Italy, on the ground, tasting oils. And I realized that what we had been selling really didn't scratch the surface of what was available and what could be. But there was really no market for the products that we had begun to really I don't say invent, because they were there, but certainly refine. And so when someone like Lisa and people like her, and we've got all walks of life, we've got doctors, we've got airline pilots, we've got chefs, health experts who have had similar experiences, both on a sensory and also on a health level, because once you begin to understand the benefits of this stuff, I mean, the health benefits of consuming good olive oil are just, I mean, they're there. And I could go on with many, many anecdotal experiences. Some of the letters we get from people, I find them hard to believe, but they're really, they're gratifying. And the same way that Lisa's has described her experience, I get, you know, vicariously, I get a huge thrill whenever I hear that, because I relate, I had that experience. I know what it's like to taste fresh olive oil for the first time, and vinegar is the same. But
I want to inject that where this all started. I happened to be in Pinehurst, North Carolina, and I went into this.
Right.
You know what I'm going to say?
Imagine that, Pinehurst.
I was on a press trip, and I was looking to see what there's to do, like in their little like downtown area. And I looked, and I, you know, heard about this store, and I went, wait, that sounds interesting. Let me go in there. And I was like, what? I mean, I couldn't think about how much publicity I could possibly give this guy about the store, because this is something I had never seen. Keith McDaniel, that's his name, yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, I did this whole thing and et cetera, and some time passed. And last year, I was in Stillwater, Minnesota. I pop into this store and I'm going, gee, isn't that interesting? It's kind of looks similar to that place in Pinehurst. And I didn't have a lot of time, but I did a little bit of tasting, and I'm saying, gee, I got to give this place a lot of publicity. And I left that alone, et cetera. I talked about it on the radio show. And then what had happened is my friend Barbara pops into Lisa's store, and knows exactly the kind of things that I'm interested in. She emails me and tells me about this. I said, oh, yes, come on. Let's do a whole number. And then to find out, wait a minute, I get to find out the place that's supplying, too. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's gratifying and amazing. And I'd like to just point out something, and Lisa pointed to it, and the idea that these are independent businesses. This is not a franchise. There is no control on pricing, and there's people are not forced to carry this or carry that. They get to choose from the, we'll call it the Heinz 57 varieties. They get to choose from all the different profiles and varieties and countries, et cetera. The amazing thing is that all of these places are independent businesses, and I love the idea, the rich kind of cross-pollination that happens when you've got 300 different people, entrepreneurs like Lisa and some of the ones that you've mentioned, who are all looking at this in their own unique way, and they come back with some of the most amazing ideas, the most, unbelievable ideas, that things that I would never have thought of. And so the richness of this is both ways. We're getting every bit as much as we're giving.
Well, what I'd like to do is get into, Lisa, to tell me about, I understand, like, it's not only that you're getting the oils and the vinegars, you're also coming up with recipes, so to speak. In other words, you're testing and saying, this is a great oil and vinegar to combine for this, et cetera, et cetera. Lisa, how do you come up with these?
Well, actually, we all kind of come up with them. Everyone kind of inputs. We all move around the store, put things together, and it's just fun. And matter of fact, just this past week, believe it or not, a couple of us came up with coconuts, white balsamic mixed with peach balsamic, then finished off to smooth it out with a Persian lime. And almost,
oh,
I would say, I know it's amazing. It's so amazing.
It is amazing.
And one thing I have to tell you, what happens is, when people walk into the store, I had no idea this was going to happen. I knew it was an educational-based type of thing, and I didn't want people just walking in the store and kind of meandering around and not really knowing what. I mean, as a hygienist, I'm, you know, an educator by trade, and we wanted to educate olive oil as well, because I do believe you have to educate people to buy and understand, like Mike has been alluding to. And so what happens when folks walk in to the store, we immediately introduce ourselves, immediately welcome them, and basically introduce them to the store, telling them what is where, and kind of just painting their idea of, wow, this could be fun. And then we get them to taste their first taste, and what I really love is making sure they get their first taste of something just pure, like strawberry balsamic or one particular type of variety of olive oil or one type of the fused or infused. And then we start mixing. But when they get their first taste, I stop, and we have all of the staff wait, and then the eyes light up. They're like, wow, that's amazing. And then once they taste that, we get them introduced to something called a suggested pairing sheet. So we work them through this little pairing sheet so they know what olive oil to mix with what balsamic vinegar, and it gives them a place to go to because they don't really have any ideas. So you have to teach them how to taste it, how to use the sample bottle, the tasting cup, not put your finger in it, but actually take the entire cup, especially with the mixture, because you don't just want the olive oil on top. You want that mixture of the balsamic as well. And they're like, wow, this is great. And they have this palette of flavors that they can play with. And by the time they've spent 25, half an hour, you know, 30 minutes in the store, they come up to the POS, they come up to the register, and they're like, I can't tell you how many people, I would say 70% of the people come up and say, wow, this is a fun store. I've got to bring my brother and my sister, and I know a chef, and oh, they got to do that. And it's amazing. I am shocked at the interaction and the excitement over this store. We're down here in Old Sacramento, and we have a lot of candy shops down here, so I call this the adult candy store, and it's really amazing. And we're just thrilled with the success and the excitement. It's amazing. So
where is most places when you're doing a tasting? It's the old, you take a piece of bread and dip it in kind
Actually,
of thing. It's not what you're really doing there.
No, I don't really want tasting this with bread. It's kind of like if you would go into a wine store, they don't have loaves of bread sitting out there because it mutes the flavor. We want people to almost be like chefs, and they're putting these flavors together and what would go with what, and it would be really minimizing that, taking away from it if you have the bread. And so we just want the purity of it all, and they're just very excited about it. So the recipes you were talking about, people just kind of come up with them themselves, and we do as well. And it just makes it very, very exciting.
So
and interactive.
When you're looking at the recipes, you're thinking about how it would be on salad or how it would be
marinated?
Yeah,
let's say, for example, I'm Greek. I'm 100% Greek, and what I'm actually starting to serve are three signature salads. One is the Greek salad, Martha's Vineyard, and a brand new salad called the Christina. And the Martha's Vineyard is actually an East Coast salad. It's a raspberry maple dressing. And I've known that, like I said, from the East Coast for about 15 years. And the great thing is we get to use the raspberry balsamic. I would use the maple, but it's sometimes it ends up a little too acidic. So we use the raspberry balsamic, a really nice, mild extra virgin olive oil, and believe it or not, maple syrup with a tarragon. So that's, and it's served with gorgonzola cheese, purple cabbage, toasted pine nuts, some radishes, and green leaf lettuce. It's an awesome salad. Then the Greek, of course, we all know the traditional Greek, and the best part of that, I believe, is definitely the dressing. I mean, it's just, it's an awesome dressing, but it's very simple, and I've been making it forever. But it's my feta cheese that I've been trying to find over here in California for 2 years and finally found it. So that's really amazing. Then the newest salad is the Christina. It's an amazing salad. And actually, Mike, I got some of this recipe from Rachel, your daughter and executive chef there at Veronica Foods. She has the fennel and gremolata. So I kind of changed it just a little bit. So it's shaved fennel, lemon juice. The real lemon juice, you have to get real, you know, from the, squeeze the lemon. We put a little Romano cheese in there, and instead of parsley, I put a lot of cilantro. And then we serve that over a mixture of greens, maybe a little endive, red leaf, a little bit of red leaf lettuce and baby greens, and it is amazing with the gremolata extra virgin olive oil that Rachel handcrafts. That
well,
is amazing.
There you
have it. And I thought there was a woman that came in and said, yeah, we didn't think it could get any better than the Greek salad, but the Christina is over the top. So,
well, Myrna, you've been listening to Lisa. There's no way I could match her enthusiasm and passion. And one of the things I'd just like to underscore is,
sure.
You know, she has come up with these things on her own, and each of the 300 operators out there are having their own individual experience, and of course there is some crossover, but it's natural and it's happened because of cooperation. But just the mixtures and the recipes that Lisa has come up with in her store, I mean, those things are the kinds of things that are just not possible to do in a traditional grocery store setting. And it bodes well for her and also for her customer because they're having this experience. It's an authentic experience, and it's one that they own. And that makes all the difference in the world.
True. Actually, Mike, you probably don't realize it, but Rachel's going to be coming up here to do a seminar April 24th, and we're entitling it Good Oil versus Bad Oil and How to Tell the Difference.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, the Olive Oil 101. So we're going to be doing an olive oil education, you know, basically, like I said, how to tell the difference between good and bad, what makes olive oil extra virgin, you know, why should olive oil from retail source come from both hemispheres, all the things that you've been talking about, and why freshness is everything, and how to prove it. Like you teach us how to, at Veronica Foods, they teach us how to really focus on the chemistry of the extra virgin olive oil. So at each tank, we have the chemistry, the indices that Mike was talking about, the free fatty acids, the polyphenols, the oleic acids, and we teach people about that if they're so inclined to be educated about that. And then, of course, she's going to be having us taste those grocery store olive oils after we understand what real olive oil is supposed to taste like. And then we'll be combining that with some food sampling. Smoked salmon carpaccio was a suggestion of Rachel's, and I'm going to have my Martha's Vineyard salad there and a strawberry balsamic shortcake that Rachel suggested. So we're real excited about
that.
I love it.
It's fantastic. Myrna, I don't know about you, but I can't listen to these folks without squirming. I mean, it just is contagious. And one of the things I want to add is we have never, Veronica Foods has never, we have not spent one nickel or spent any money on advertising. We've never gone to a trade show. We've never advertised for people to open stores, except if you go on our webpage and you're so inclined. But this has all happened organically, and it's happened as a result of the kind of experience that Lisa had, other people have had. And one by one, again, in less than 7 years, it's gone from one store to 300, all independently owned. In the 7 years that we've done this, we've had three stores close, and primarily because of bad locations. They just opted for cheaper rent and died for lack of foot traffic. But I would just say that in 2008 and 2009, when we saw the economies begin to collapse and really downturn, we thought for sure we'd see a high incidence of failure. But absolutely the opposite happened. Our business has doubled each of the last 4 years.
Are there any stores, since I'm in New York City, are there any stores like this in New York City?
Oh, yeah. In Manhattan, there's the Chelsea Market is one. There's quite a few in New Jersey. And we were just back in upstate New York. There's a fantastic store there called Oliver's. A wonderful store, beautiful operator, and just a princess of a queen, I should say, a queen of a lady, who's was an ex-Eastman Kodak executive, advertising executive, who had her own epiphany and decided to open one of these, doing a fantastic job. But yeah, they're probably in New York, again upstate as well. There's probably 8 to 10 there in that state, and there's probably another 10 that will open in the next 6 months.
Wow. Well, the other thing I then want to get into, and by the way, Lisa, I want to ask you. I was thinking, has anybody like dropped in for lunch just because of the salad?
Drop in for lunch? Well, yes, we do. We're not a restaurant. We have to go.
Yeah, right.
Salad.
I know, that's what I mean.
But yeah, people are really starting to enjoy the salads very, very much. We're trying to really get a push on that, so it's starting to really blossom.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I understand. So you've only been open, you said, for how long? For 3 months?
About three months. December 14th. A little bit longer than 3 months.
Okay. And now you have to hire people.
Yes, we do.
which is a cue.
That's right.
That's a great problem.
Yeah, it's actually what's really great is we...
It's a cue because Rochelle, I think, is on. Rochelle, are
exactly.
You there?
Exactly. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I said that. So, yeah, tell me. I mean, I can imagine, like, Rochelle, you're going for a job, and you just come across this place and just, like, I mean, what?
Well,
you know,
actually, everyone that works there helped Lisa prior to it opening. So she had already decided on her staff prior to the store opening, and it was great because we all got a chance to fill a part of it before the first customer came through the door. So we were able to work together and, you know, help Lisa to create the store that she wanted, and then we were... you know, ready for the first customer. And prior to working there, I knew absolutely nothing about olive oil or balsamic vinegars, and I still have a great deal to learn. But it's amazing how much everyone has learned in a very short period of time.
That's great. Are you do you cook at home? I mean, are you a foodie at all? Or
I wouldn't call myself a foodie, but I live by myself, so yes, any meal I have, I pretty much cook for myself. And I'd never really used olive oil. Well, I did all the things that you do wrong. I bought a big old bottle and had it for about 3.5 years. In the last year and a half, it didn't have its lid on, and it, you know, didn't taste very good because it was rancid. So since I started working there, I have just already gone through our largest bottle, a bottle and a half of the balsamic, and I've already gone through a bottle and a half of the extra virgin olive oil, and I'm really using it the way it's supposed to be used and eating super healthy and just really enjoying it.
So, Lisa, how did you, Rochelle is the manager, is that it?
Yes, she's amazing. Oh, my God. Okay, so what was so funny was I was coming home from Florida this past September. A friend of mine, I flew into San Francisco. I had to drive up to Sacramento, and a friend of mine said, hey, listen, there's a fundraiser. It's happening in 2 hours from now. Why don't you come? It's like, oh, golly, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to go. So I got myself dressed. I scooted over to the fundraiser. Here I meet Rochelle. We hit it off. We spent some time together, just, you know, having some dinner, just spending some fun time together. And I needed someone to really help me at the level that Rochelle could help me. And she was just finishing up a job and was free to work. I said, would you please come and help me? I'm so in need of your, number one, expertise, your devotion. And I had no idea what I was getting when I got Rochelle. I mean, she is so much better. I mean, she does everything about 100 times better than I do. She's amazing. When people come in, it's so cool. She says, you know, I have to make sure that I see these people and know that they're coming in the front door because we have to get right on them. I mean, she takes all of what I want to do and makes sure it's done to the nth degree. She does it extremely well. She's very meticulous. There's so much I could say about her, but the day wouldn't be long enough to fill to tell you all of how awesome she is. I mean, I really appreciate Rochelle. I could not have done it without her because I'm still trying to spend a lot of time building the store, building relationships, getting marketing done and things like that. So she is basically me in a Rochelle body.
So tell me about, okay. So,
but a better version, a much better version.
Well, let's say, okay, so let's talk about people coming into the store, and do you find most, so would you say, let's say 90% of the people coming in have never done olive oil tasting?
Rochelle?
Yes, I would say by far the majority of the people that come in have never done olive oil tasting or balsamic vinegar tasting. The few that have are already excited, and they tell you right away, I've done this. These are some of my favorites. Do you have these? What other ones do you have? And no matter how much they already know, we always like to show them around the store just so that they know, well, these are where all the dark balsamics are. These are where the white balsamics are. These are the extra virgin olive oils. These are the, you know, extra virgin olive oils that have been flavored, all natural ingredients, no artificial flavors. And so we still show them around the store, and we always make sure that we put together their first pairing because it's surprising to me how many people that have tasted before haven't done the pairing. And I know the majority of the time I use olive oil or balsamic, I use them together. And so that's where you really get the excitement is when people are able to taste two together. And whenever you can share personal experiences, obviously, that's even better. Mm-hmm. So I put the blackberry ginger balsamic and the Persian lime olive oil on my spinach salad, which I have almost every day. And so, you know, I go right through that one, you know, and tell them that. And when they finish tasting it, I say, imagine that on a spinach salad with almonds and cheese. And their eyes just light up and they're like, oh, my gosh, that would be so amazing.
Wow. And what Rochelle does is she makes sure – because this is our whole theme, you know, we want people to feel extremely welcome, and that's the whole thing is people tell us time and time again, wow, your staff is so, you know, attentive, they're very welcoming, they've educated us, we've had little testimonials written about them. I mean, people, that's the whole thing. This is my home. I want people to feel that they are very welcomed and taken care of, and this is where this is where that is. So they feel like it's a place where they can mill around, talk to other people, share experiences. Oh, what was that you tasted? Oh, I have to try that. And it's a really warm, and that's what Veronica told me to do. Make sure you have enough room where people can enjoy and mill and converse and spend time. I mean, we have people in groups just having conversations off in one spot that are not even related to olive oil. They just want to hang out.
That's wonderful. Honestly, I can't tell you how that just absolutely warms my heart. And I have to say, and this doesn't diminish this, I've heard very similar, and I've seen the same thing in our company store. We have a flagship company store that we introduce people to when they come out and they have the idea, and we see the same thing. And I've seen this in so many places where the staff, they end up, because they're vested, because they have to really learn about the products they're selling, you know, that passion, that understanding is just an essential part of the experience. And it's what's missing, frankly, in the way that we buy most of our food. The idea that you talk to the local butcher or the cheesemaker or the winemaker, we don't do it that way anymore. We go into a store and there's a shelf and there's a bottle and then there's a piece of paper. And that product is as good as the guy putting the piece of paper on there. And when someone like Lisa and someone like Rochelle, who absolutely know and make it their business to know what they're selling and really make that comparison and go out there, and they can inform and they can provide really authentic, valuable, objective information that you just simply, it's not available otherwise. And I think it's just a key. And I, you know, that enthusiasm I hear, it's contagious. And I love it.
Well, one quick thing I kind of want to get into also is, all right, so we now think of the olive oil and vinegars in terms of going on a salad, or the olive oil, you know, to put in the pan so you can fry something, you know, that type of thing. How about marinating?
Oh, yeah. And again, I'm going to let the ladies speak.
Just the ladies, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, we have,
my favorite,
Rochelle.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rochelle.
My favorite that I use, it's a traditional balsamic and a Tuscan herb olive oil, and I've used those two. I've marinated steak, chicken, fish, and it's just so versatile. And then I've also used it for bread dipping. And the nice thing that I've noticed is it's not an overnight type of thing that it has to marinate. I marinate my fish for maybe 7 minutes, and then I'm able to cook it and it just, the flavor is amazing. I don't need to add anything to it. Just those two combined is, to me, the perfect flavoring. And so just sharing that with people, because some people are intimidated. I've never used a lot of spices while cooking because I'm not a foodie. I'm not very educated as far as those kinds of things. And so to have something that I can do so simply that tastes so amazing, I think whether you're a foodie or not, you know it tastes good. That's not the issue. So it's been really fun having such a simple solution to make things so much better than they were.
So, and by the way, I'm assuming you're talking about two kinds of products that don't have salt in it. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
So for people who are low sodium and want to marinate or cook and get flavor without having to add salt, they're getting that, aren't they?
No salt, no refined sugar, no concentrated sugar, no corn syrup, none of the sweeteners. It's grape juice, and the sweetness from the vinegar comes from the fruit.
You know, I have to share something with you guys. I was told that I'm allergic to balsamic vinegar because of because I'm also allergic to red wine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have avoided it. And any time really that I've had balsamic vinegar, I went, no big deal. I finally got to taste the real stuff. You know, the one that's been aged?
Yes.
The one that's not a wine vinegar? The one that's really a balsamic vinegar?
Yes, yes,
and
I do.
And I tasted it and I went, it tastes like the grapes.
That's right, and it does taste like the grapes. You can taste
going,
the grape, yeah.
This doesn't taste like vinegar. It tastes like the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a different process to make balsamic and to make vinegar. The sweetness comes from is when you begin to make the vinegar, instead of letting all of the sugar change to vinegar, the vinegar maker keeps adding fruit juice. And what happens is the sweetness from that fruit juice concentrates. And so the vinegar never turns completely into vinegar, whereas wine vinegar, most of that sugar is converted into vinegar. And so you get the traditional vinegars, barrel-aged vinegars, are tart and sharp, and the balsamics have a note of that, but they have, as you pointed out, Myrna, they have this grapey fruit juice concentrate. Basically, what you're dealing with is a concentrate.
By the way, I got Barbara on the chat, and she just said it tastes. I guess she's talking about the marinade. She said it tastes delicious with fish, too. She wanted to make sure she got that in. But so now it with working there, like, what kind of things, like, would you do? Like, I know you're having this event. You know, would you go beyond, like, the salad there? Because, ever do something like, although maybe you can't, like, to marinate something and say, and then be able to serve that?
There are health code restrictions. I can only do things that are cold-oriented. I can't cook, can't really create steam and things like that. So I'm limited that way. But you know what? I really kind of want to keep the olive oil and balsamic the largest percentage of my business. The salads, to me, are fun. I don't want it to get into the restaurant realm because that just gets to be too much work. And I really want to stay on the fun side of it and have the events. And just because I like to entertain people. I like, you know, short term, an hour here, 2 hours there to entertain and have a big splash, and then we're off to something else. I'm not someone to, you know, keep that high energy of food and all of that up. I just really like these little small events and that really keeps the excitement very high for a short period of time, and that's really what I like. So I don't think I really want to have too much of the other. This is good for me.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Lisa. Have you, like, taken the opportunity of, like, inviting chefs from hotels or restaurants?
My original idea was I have a wall that's being saved for banners that are going to be picturing chefs and their restaurants. And I want to feature one chef every month and do some cooperative marketing with them. I'm going to bring one of them down off the wall, put them on a particular spot in my store where everyone sees that restaurant, that chef, sees the menus and so forth. And when they, if they're interested in going someplace like down into Midtown for dinner, Midtown or even Old Sac for dinner, there is a coupon under their banner that they can go to that restaurant and get something for free, a small little something for free. And then when we are featuring that one particular restaurant or chef, then at their restaurant, they will have a little coupon at the end of their meal that they can come here and get two 60-milliliter bottles of extra virgin olive oil as a gift once they come here to visit our store. So a little cooperative stuff. There's so many other things, just opening up a new store get to that. So that is my ultimate idea, and I'm keeping my one beautifully artistically done wall free for those banners. But right now it just looks like an old world painted wall with cracks and things like that in it. So it's a placeholder, but that's what I'd like to do is definitely invite the chefs. But we have chefs coming in here all the time. We don't really realize that they're chefs. They don't boast, but you know that they're chefs because they always come in here buying big, huge bottles of truffle and porcini oil.
That's wonderful. I'd like to just, if I could, I want to thank you, ladies. I'm running up against a deadline here, and I've got about 3 minutes, and I need to excuse myself, but I want to thank you, Myrna, and you, Lisa,
Merle,
and Rochelle. Really, it's a privilege, and it's really a pleasure to be able to weigh in, and frankly, I'm not that comfortable talking about us, and you, Lisa, you do it so much better, really, so...
I'd
like to excuse myself, and if I could.
It's okay.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Mike. Ladies.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, I'll be in touch with you, Mike.
Okay. Thank you, Myrna. Thank you. Bye-bye,
Merle.
Ladies.
It's Merle.
Oh, Merle, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Well, what I'm going to be, just want to let my audience know, I'm going to be going back to this again because... I'm getting some samples to taste, so I want to do.
And they're in the mail,
and I want to do a taste there. Oh, by the way, email me the tracking number so I know.
Okay, yes, you will. You will be emailed. It's already in the process of being mailed out. It's actually going to be picked up today. It's all boxed up and has your name on it. It's on its way.
Because what I'm going to do, we're going to do a tasting, and I'll go back on the air. We'll have, you know, this on the air, and then also there's another follow-up as we get Barbara to come in and do and do some work, taking photos, etc., so I can get this up on a blog and get some articles done. We got to get the word out.
Well, thank you so very much, Merle. This has been just a wonderful opportunity, and it's just been awesome to hear Mike and have you bring all of these people together. It just really makes for a nice presentation and an introductory to the store and just the olive oil industry.
And just to announce it to everybody, what's the website and your address?
The website is Chef's Olive Mix. And the address here is Old Sacramento, 131 J Street in Old Sacramento.
Are you near? I remember being on a boat at the hotel.
You might be thinking of Long Beach.
No. There's I don't mean
that.
Oh,
the Delta.
Yeah,
that's a great paddle boat. It has a nice little tour that it does up and down the river and great.
I mean, are you near there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's part of Sacramento.
I was out there. I was going to say a couple of years ago, but you know how a couple of years goes by and it's like 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was out there because there was a championship football game with the New York Sharks and the Sacramento Sirens.
Oh, cool!
And I had done the public relations for the New York Sharks, so I went out there for it. And you know, while they were doing their thing, I was doing mine. And that's I just kind of in my head can picture that little area over there. That's all I seem to remember of. it's great having you guys on, and as I said, this will get all kind of follow up, and we'll see where we can go from here. I got blogging and writing to do now.
Thank you, Merle.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Bye now.
Right, bye.
Bye. Oh yes, I got to eat now. That's the problem. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know what I'm doing in the next show. Actually, this is going to be very interesting. I didn't want to put this out there. But as it turns out, I'm going to Fairway Market tomorrow for something else, to do something regarding Passover. And I know they have a whole big thing with olive oils, and I see that they can do a tasting, but I know they're from bottles. And I'll be interested to see what kind of feedback they give me when I talk about, yes, I'd like to do an olive oil tasting and ask them a few questions. And it'll be a good way to compare what, what happens when you get to a supermarket. Does it help how great a supermarket is? Does it make a difference? Or, you know, it's all the same because you're getting it in a supermarket? And we'll find out. So until then, have a great day, morning, evening, or whatever you're doing. I'm going to eat something now. Bye-bye.